We're now entering section two, and I would like to share with you a psalm that can probably put your heart in the right order or in the right frame of mind to pray. So we're looking for that. This is sort of like a beginning. And the psalm that really spoke to my heart is Psalm 34. And I would like to just lift out different verses from that psalm. This psalm is just loaded with prayer promises. Verse 1, I will thank God at all times. My mouth will always praise him. So the psalmist started out his prayer time with praising God. In verse 3, it says, Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. There's an order here that helps us in our prayer time. And the order starts with a focus on God. Then he begins to share his own issues. He began to share some of the things he was going through. Verse 4, I went to God for help. Where else can we go? And he said, he answered me. Verse 6, I called out to God, and he heard me and saved me. It's interesting. There are two words that you look in Scripture about prayer. One is prayer, and the other is called out. Often, called out is the prayer of desperation. It's not just saying my prayers, so to speak, but something is really going on, and I cry out to God. And those prayers are red flag prayers that go up to God. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear him, and he rescues them. It's amazing that when we are praying, how the angelic host, when you go deeper and deeper in prayer, are so much involved. Verse 15, God's eyes are on the righteous, and his ear hear their cry for help. What a wonderful promise. Verse 17, and the righteous cry out, and God hears and rescues them from all of their troubles. Verse 18, God is near those whose hearts are humble. Verse 22, God protects the souls of his servants. All who take refuge in him will never be condemned. And so there's kind of an order here. Praise before prayer. Focus on God before we focus on our troubles. Prayer is mainly about us being with God, not necessarily about God answering our prayers. The most important thing about prayer, it takes me to the feet of God, and I'm with him, and I can begin to share my personal issues with God and leave them there. But we want to take really the first lesson here. That was a lesson before we start our lesson, and that's on intercession. See, that prayer before that we read from the Psalms was about me, but intercession is a little bit different. Intercession is when I go to God on the behalf of someone else. And I think a beautiful lesson in Scripture on intercession where we pray for somebody else. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 11, Paul describes the suffering that he was going through. He said, our suffering was so extreme that it was beyond our ability to endure. Paul thought, this is the end. You know, I can't seem to go further in this suffering. We even wondered if we could go on living. That's pretty strong. In fact, the fact was still as if we were under a death sentence. So here was Paul going through extreme suffering times because of his taking a stand for the Lord. What was the purpose in suffering? Why did he go through that? And he gives us a clue here. He says, but we suffered so that we would stop trusting ourselves and start trusting God. The God who will bring the dead back to life. He has rescued us from a terrible death, and he will rescue us in the future. That's, yes, we're going through a very, very dark time right now, but I know that God will rescue us. It's not our time to go to be with the Lord, and God will rescue us. And we are confident that he will continue to rescue us from one situation to another. Now, where does prayer fit in here? I mean, Paul is talking about this terrible suffering that he was going through as a believer. And he goes on and he says, since you are also joining to help us when you pray for us. See, that is intercession. Paul was going through all of this, and as they began to hear what he was going through, God placed the burden on the prayer person's heart, the burden bearer's heart, to begin to pray for Paul. And he said, then many people will thank God for the favor he will show us, because many people prayed for us. See, praying for people that are hurting is extremely important. Look around the church you go to. Look around the people that you know. Look around at people you don't know and what they're going through, and you can intercede for them. See, prayer makes a difference. It really does. It makes a difference for those who are at the present time going through very, very difficult times. They may not say, would you pray for me? But God allowed you to see that need, and you want to intercede. That means you want to go to God on their behalf. So thank God for people that not only believe in prayer, but also have a lifestyle of prayer. When you have many opportunities to pray that you may not even be aware of, you may be standing on the line somewhere, why not pray for that person ahead of you? You may be the only person ever prayed for them. You see people on the street and God calls your attention to them. Pray for that person right there. Just bring him before the Lord. God knows who you're praying for. God knows his name or her name. You may not. But you can pray for them and ask that God would reveal himself to them and they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, the second aspect that we want to look at in our praying here, and that is petitions. And petitions is my prayer for my needs and my situation. And petitions, I think it's interesting how the Lord structured the Lord's Prayer. And we can learn something about the Lord's Prayer. Jesus, in Matthew 6:9, said, pray like this. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew, there was a benediction to that prayer, and some of the translations have dropped it. And you can read the footnotes. In fact, this Bible did that I'm using. And they read the footnote why they didn't include it. The King James and New King James do include that. So you may not, you whatever Bible you have, I'm not going to put that last part on there in the Lord's Prayer. But Jesus said, when he said, pray like this, he was saying, structure your personal prayer like this. So it wasn't just praying the words, but it's the structure. And Jesus gave us the example of the structure. The disciples noticed that Jesus had a wonderful prayer life. He would disappear and be all night with God, gone by himself, praying to God all night. Jesus grew up in a Jewish home. I have a wonderful book on the prayers that Jesus would have been taught by his mother and father growing up. There are all kinds of prayers that they had in that particular book on the prayer life that Jesus would have experienced. But when Jesus structured his prayer, he didn't go back to the structured prayers that they were given to pray and growing up. But he tells us that this is an example that we can follow in our prayer life. So, you know, he addresses his prayer to our Father in heaven. So that's a good beginning as we want to structure my own prayers. It's my prayers. I'm praying to the eternal God, the God of heaven. And the first section of this prayer, the first three requests, is all about God. So often when we pray, there's no praise or no worship. And in our prayer time, we need to include that. That first of all, our focus is on who we're praying to. And then secondly, the second three parts of the Lord's Prayer is about food, about forgiving our sins, and don't let us yield to temptation, and rescue us from the evil one. So it's about my battles. It's about the everyday situations in my life. If you have a King James or a New King James, you see that it ends with a focus on God again. I really like that. So at least half of my prayer should be with a focus on God. The other half of my prayer is on me. I think there's something that helped me in my prayer life more than anything. Is in the Bible, when someone would pray, I wrote those prayers down. I wanted to see how did they structure their prayers? What did they pray about? Or if you're being instructed to pray, what did they say to be sure and include? But we knew that the Son of God said, the first part of your prayers should be a focus on God. The second part of your prayers should be a focus on your needs. And then you can end by refocusing on the God who answers prayer. I would like to go to Psalms 40. And this is the third part of the second part, because we had three things: intercession, praying for others, petitions is my own personal prayer requests, and then the fourth thing is waiting on God can be a wonderful part of praying. I want to share these verses for you from Psalms 40. Verse 1, I waited patiently for God. He turned to me and he heard my cry for help. He pulled me out of a horrible pit, out of the mud and clay. He set my feet upon a rock, and he made my steps secure. Verse 3, he placed a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. May we see this and worship, so they will trust in God. Blessed is the person who places his confidence in God. So, when we prayed for others and for ourselves, have a time of just quietness before the Lord. And God may speak to your heart. God may lay something on your heart that you hadn't prayed for, something on your heart you never thought about praying for, but he brings it to you. So it's a special time just to sit quietly before God and let him minister to your heart in your prayer time. And that waiting on God, and you'll see it in scriptures. There are even books written on waiting on God. So when I'm talking to God for myself and for others, then I want to wait. And maybe there's some praise I want to give to God. Maybe I want to have a lot of thanksgiving as I look at how God met my needs, how God answered my prayers, how God has put wonderful people in my life and surrounded me with friends. Maybe you don't have friends. But the whole idea there of waiting on God is, why rush in and rush out? Imagine if the only time your children talk to you is if they wanted you to do something for someone else or they wanted you to do something for yourself. So I think this waiting on God, you'll find extremely important. And you'll see in scripture, waiting on God. What did Jesus do when he prayed all night long? It wasn't written prayers. It wasn't prayers that he had practiced when he was younger. No. He was waiting on God, allowing God to give directions. I want to share an illustration with you. I have a very good friend who is just a real man of prayer. And when he was praying, God spoke to him in a very strange way for a very strange thing. God spoke to him and said, I want you to go to this particular gas station, and after you fill your car, I want you to pay the gas bill of the next person that gets gas there. So he waited, and a person he did not know did not have enough gas to get to work. Not because of spending foolishly, but because of some situations that took place that took the money. And as they were praying, unbeknownst to him, God told them to go to this gas station and wait. Then God would tell them to fill their tank, and they had no money. And they did it. They filled their tank. And when they walked in to pay their bill, they were told the person ahead of them had paid their total gas bill. Do you want to be that kind of person? See, if we're so busy and we don't wait on God, then are we going to allow God to speak to our hearts? And I'm not saying you have to go pay someone's gas bill. But I thought, well, praise the Lord. God spoke to a person in one part of town to get gas at a gas station they normally didn't go to and to pay for the very next person. And that person at home, God told them to go to that gas station, fill their tank, and walk in with no money. And here, God had already laid it on the heart of someone else during their prayer time to pay for them, knowing that they hadn't misspent the money. I hope that encourages you to wait on the Lord and just allow God to speak to your heart during your prayer time. God bless you.